All right, peace, y'all. Peace, peace, peace. So, in this video, we're gonna be talking about emojis and why they're used. Now, I'm gonna break some things down about the history of where emojis basically came from and the importance of these things. Now, after you realize this, you probably won't use emojis so much anymore, right? But there's a reason why a lot of websites and social media and telephones, cell phones actually have these emojis in them, all right? And I'm gonna break it down for y'all in the simplest form, all right? Now, the first smiley face, all right, was drawn in 1700 BCE, all right, on the side of a flask. Now, this ceramic jug actually was found in Carchemish, Turkey, all right? Now, if we want to go back a bit further, the earliest drawing known to man was found in a South African cave about 73,000 years ago. All right, scientists had actually found this rock, which had a hashtag drawn on the side. So symbols was always used back in those times, right? They was always drawing symbols on a wall. We see a lot of hieroglyphics and things like that that have always been around, right? But if we focus on, you know, the emojis and why they were created, we'll see there is a deeper meaning in why we use them. Now, sigils were used to gain control, all right, and to conjure up spirits in the days of Solomon, all right? If we want to actually understand the reason why emojis are used, we got to connect the dots to the keys of Solomon, all right? Now, I speak about the Keys of Solomon very often, all right? It's the place where the Vatican resides. Now, underground, they have a lot of transcripts that date back to Solomon and his keys, or the lesser keys, all right? Many Freemasons know about these keys and the importance of it, right? But it's all a part of Goetia, all right? Now, why do we use emojis?
We use emojis all the time when we text.
To express something that can't really be expressed through a word, I guess. They're fun.
Now, the organization behind emojis is called Unicode. All right. Now, Unicode is basically a group or organization that allows software programs to use these emojis, all right, on different platforms. Now, Unicode, in a nutshell, basically, they have stakes in different technology industries, such as things as Google, Apple, IBM, and also Microsoft, right? They have different tiers of membership, meaning basically any company dealing with a software can actually join, all right? But the full membership is really reserved for companies that have a strict interest in controlling emoji content. That's your Facebook, that's your Apple, that's your Google, and also the Ministry of Endowments and Religious Affairs of Oman. All right. Now, this is a religious group that takes place over there in Arabia. Right. But they are tied in with Unicode. And I'm going to break this down and how a religious group would have anything to do with Unicode. Right. Why would a religious group be down with Unicode? OK. Now we're going to take a look. Right. Because this, you got to go into Solomon and his story. So you got to bring up the Bible. Now, this is in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1 through 14. And it describes a deal that was struck by King Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. All right. So it says, When the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relationship to the Lord, she came to test Solomon with hard questions. Arriving at Jerusalem with a very great caravan with camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold and precious stone, she came to Solomon and talked with him about all that she had on her mind. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. When the Queen of Sheba saw all the wisdom of Solomon and the palace he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his officials, the attending servants in their robes, his cupbearers, and the burnt offerings he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. Now, apparently the queen had some secret knowledge, right? And wanted to find out if King Solomon had the same knowledge as well. Now, in the grimoires of the Lesser Key of Solomon, right, which was written by King Solomon himself, it basically explains the instructions in Goetia for summoning 72 demons. All right, now, these magical seals was used for uttering each demon's name and bringing it to the sorcerer's presence. So they would write down these sigils and it will basically bring this spirit up. All they would have to do is call on the spirit name and it would come up. Now, verse 10, it says, and she gave the king 120 talents of gold, meaning Queen Sheba, right? Gave King Solomon 120 talents of gold, large quantities of spices and precious stones. Never again were so many spices brought in as those the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. So she gave him all her belongings to find out if he had the secret knowledge. Verse 14, right? Gets a little crazy here. It says, the weight of the gold that Solomon received yearly was 666 talents, not including the revenues from merchants and traders and from all the Arabian kings and the governors of the territories. Now, this is where it gets interesting, because a guy by the name of Wendell Phillips began a journey to find the holdings of Queen Sheba, right? And he started in Arabia, all right? He started in Arabia, then he worked his way to Yemen, and then he wound up in Oman. Now, when Wendell went over there, right, he was almost kidnapped, and some of his crew was actually even held hostage. But something had taken place where the tables had been reversed. Now, from the story I read in his obituary, Wendell Phillips was the only Westerner that had been appointed as a high-powered sheikh. All right, maybe he found the secrets in the seal given to the queen, all right, by Solomon. This could have been a situation. But he also was given an enormous amount of oil wells totaling up to 100,000 square miles. All right, he was estimated to have earned $120 million before he died. So I really believe he went over there, got them secrets, and used it for himself. And, you know, a lot of those people over there, the Arabian people, they was afraid of him. You know what I'm saying? Because once he got that power, it was no turning back. Now, Unicode 8 was released the same year the Oman joined Unicode, right? This Unicode 8 edition was crazy, which is crazy. It was actually named the Occult Edition. Now, this is when they started to add the zodiac signs to the emojis, right? A lot of symbols and signs that pertain to the occult are now inside of the Unicode system, right? And like I said, they implemented it and called this the occult version, all right? Now, in Unicode 8, which is so crazy, there are 72 face core emojis, just exactly like the 72 seals of Solomon, all right? The same exact number. Now, when we press in these emojis, it's no telling that we are tapping into certain spirits, right? And this is how they all getting us. They're all getting us this way. Like, there's no escaping. Now, the original emojis was produced in black and white. All right, much similar to the seals in Solomon. Y'all see this, the resemblance, right? Since then, the program Unicode has actually updated their emojis and made them more colorful. But it's still the same thing. It's still the same exact thing. Now, if we compare the sigils, all right, to the emojis, all right, you can see here the resemblance. Okay, the shocked face is a representation of the demon Marbus, right? Then you have the face of frustration, which is the seal of Baal. All right, this is the seal of Baal. So when you're using this frustration emoji, you're actually conjuring up Baal. All right, now the nerve face is a representation of Malthus, right? But here's what I want to say to the people out there. Now, emojis may seem harmless, all right, to some people out there, but these codes are actually used as a source of energy. See, when you're tapping on specific emojis and sending it to someone, all right, it's going to give off a radiation of energy. Just like if you put a laughing emoji, right? If you writing out something regular and put a laughing emoji behind it, the other person on the end can instantly tell if you're joking or you're not joking. But this is what I'm saying. It's energy based. All right. It's energy based. And these people in this higher position understand that these codes are significant and are being used on a daily basis. Okay. To transfer energy. All right. There's no reason why the religious group of Oman would get involved with Unicode unless they are, you know, trying to inscribe the occult. All right. There would be no other reason why. Okay. So when you're typing in emojis, you're basically using sigils. All right. You are using sigils nonetheless. All right. So I hope I broke this down for you guys, and I'm going to get to some more videos for y'all. All right.
They're cute, they're expressive, and they're used by people around the world. We're talking about emojis.
It does a good job of getting across fairly basic expressions.
Communications professor Jeff Hayden says the cartoon representation of reality, such as emojis, is not a new concept.
It's been used in systems of expression really since the beginning of language, or written language anyway.
Before emojis, we had emoticons, which are punctuations that formed smileys and sad faces. Emoticons were created in 1982 after computer scientist Scott Fallman suggested using them to help clarify people's tones in their messages. Then came Japanese-born emojis in 1999, more colorful and elaborate images created by telecommunications planner Shigetaka Kurita.
A greater certainty of getting your point across.
Although emojis make it easier to understand a person's tone and emotion, Hayden says it only works with simple sentences.
You drift into more complex, more abstract conversations, and then all of a sudden, the cartoons aren't really doing the job anymore.
Linguistics professor Sheila Embleton agrees.
Supplement to the written form of the text, whether it's a text message or an email.
Embleton says emojis can often express a person's body language.
It replaces some of those cues that are missing. Sometimes people may say something and then feel that it's maybe a little harsh or something, and then they'll liven it up by a, say, smiley face.
Research assistant professor Mayank Khatriwal released a study last month which looks at how people around the world use emojis. His team looked through 1.5 billion tweets used in 2016 from 30 countries, including Canada.
People are very consistent in their behavior. We also found that they are very consistent across languages.
The top emojis used by people on Twitter were laugh till you cry, red heart, and the crying emoji. The least popular included flags and music symbols.
Some cultures and some countries may be less experimental in their emoji usage.
But Khatriwal says what stood out to him was how similarly people express themselves using emojis.
Very heartwarming, to be honest. I mean, it made me feel like part of a big global community.
But just as easily as emojis can bring us together, they can also tear us apart if used negatively. Assistant professor of psychology Isabel Boutte worked on a study that looks at the impact of using negative emojis in text messages.
If you add a negative emoji, for example, a frowning emoji or an angry emoji to that negative text message, then you're going to perceive it as being even colder.
And that's why Boutte recommends being mindful when using negative emojis.
They actually have a strong impact on how what you're sending as a text message will be understood.
Charmin Samani, Global News.